chapters 1 through 11 that the Bible's true. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It really happened just like God said. And then in the second book of Genesis, we saw the patriarchs get started out there. Abraham, the first Jew, the first Hebrew. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. And then we started the third book of Genesis. That's just what we're calling them. Easy to remember that way. And we're looking at Joseph and chapter 37. Well, chapter 36, we see a contrast here of all the things, items, religious items, hope that Esau had. These are the generations of Esau, and it's a whole chapter. Then in 37, we saw, verse 2, we saw these are the generations of Jacob, Joseph. Jacob put all of his hope in the favorite son. Jehovah God put all of his hope in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're studying Joseph, but we're learning about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I made a mistake on your paper there. For chapter 39, I put Joseph the slave, and it actually should be Joseph the servant. You only find the word slave in the King James Bible one time in Revelation. It's plural, slaves. Men traded in the souls of men and slaves. And then you find a singular one time in Jeremiah talking about Israel, really, the nation of Israel. But over 500 times, the real Bible calls us servants.
Yeah.
It never calls us slaves. The versions do. The versions of the truth, they call us slaves. But we're servants, is what happened. And let's look at... Then we see Joseph was slandered in verse 39. Let's start there. We got seven verses last week. Let's read those again for review to get our mind back to where it belongs. Genesis chapter 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites that the brothers sold him to, which had brought him down hither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now here is a servant that owns nothing, but the Bible said he was prosperous because the Lord was with him.
Right.
If the Lord's with you, you're prosperous.
Right.
The Lord's with me. That's the only thing that makes me prosper. He passed by my way one day, and he included me. And then verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. Oh, but people need to see that the Lord's with us. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. His master, his owner, could see that. Verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he, Potiphar, made him, Joseph, overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand, into Joseph's hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The Lord has blessed our little house because he moved in.
Right.
He moved in. It's nothing I've done, but he blesses us daily. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he, Potiphar, had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, come lie with me. And last week, we looked at temptation's approach. Some of the ways, we looked up several verses, the way that temptation approaches. And it always looks good. The enemy shows us the bait. He does not show us the hook.
Right.
He does not show us the end of sin. He shows us the beginning of sin. And it's not literal, but it's as if the enemy, the devil, had a tackle box, and he'll throw out the bait. If I don't bite one bait, he'll throw out another bait and see if I'm biting that. For instance, despair. If he can't get me with despair, then he'll throw out delight. Maybe that'll get me. Maybe pain. He'll throw out some pain there. If pain don't get me, maybe pleasure will. He'll rebait that hook. If maybe persecution, like 2 Peter's going through over in Burma. If persecution doesn't get us, he'll try popularity. Sometimes that's pride is what makes us fall many times. And then temptation many times is dignified. A lot of times it's white collar and a tie. It's not always blue collar. It's not always in a t-shirt. The temptation's dignity, it was his master's wife. It wasn't just any old girl. It was his master's wife. And temptation is dignified sometimes. They might try to make it look dignified. One beer ad said it was pure brewed in God's country. Well, there's nothing pure about beer. It's rotten.
Right.
It's made out of rot. It's not beer till it rots. And rot gut liquor is something that rotted. Either rice or corn or something, they put it in a pot and it rots. There's nothing pure about it, and it wasn't in God's country, although everything's God's country. Then temptation's timing. Let's go on and read a little bit more for today. That was review there. Get it all for the same price. We'll start in verse 8 on today. But guess what? He refused.
Yeah,
see, every man does not have a price. And Joseph didn't have a price. He couldn't buy him off. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in the house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife." And I think we said last week when Joseph was in a position where he needed to guard his testimony the most was when he got tempted.
Right.
It goes on and says, "How then can I do this great wickedness?" We don't want to miss the fact that adultery is great wickedness. But that's not all. "And sin against God." See, all sin's against God.
Right.
I may sin against you, but it's also against God at the same time. All sin is against God. "And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her." And then verse 11, "And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house therein." Now this is the closest you'll find in the Bible of Joseph sinning. He never actually sinned, but he didn't have enough discretion to distinguish between a house with men in it and a house that didn't have men in it.
Right.
He should have known or checked.
Yeah.
Before he went in, and not been alone. He didn't have a glass door on his office, which that's just a start. That's just the beginning. That's just one step. He needed a safeguard. He did not use discretion or wisdom here when he went in the house alone. Then that's temptation's timing. She waited until there was no one around. We need to be aware. I know there might not be teenagers in here. We need to be aware of lonely and secluded places, but that would apply to everyone.
Right.
Everyone. Then in verse 10, we see temptation's persistency. Day by day.
Yes.
Day by day. Day by day. Repeated drops of water wear a rock away, wear a groove right in a rock. And every day, temptation's subtlety, verse 10. It was day by day, and he hearkened not to be with her, to lie by her, or to be with her. Either way. Her final request was, well, just be with me. Let's just pass the time. See, teenagers, again, have no reason to court unsaved people. There's no reason to spend time. There's no reason to. Some say, well, we're never going to get married. Well, you don't know that.
Right.
You don't know that. At the present, but teenagers, again, that's someone else's wife or someone else's husband right now.
Right.
Right now it is. Verse 9, Joseph had a high view of the marriage vows. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He knew it. Verse 10, again, day by day, the enemy never sleeps. Let's look at it in Luke 4. Luke 4, verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. See, there'll never be a time when we arrive. As long as we're in this body, there will be temptation. Every day it'll be self or spirit. Flesh or spirit, every day, and sometimes many times a day. Many times a day, until we get our new body, till the Lord comes back and we get our new body. We're still in the war. Like he said in verse 11, there were no safeguards, no discretion, no glass door. Verse 12, the refusal. Verse 12, she caught him by the garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out.
Yes.
See, we need to flee from what we cannot fight.
Right.
That's not a coward. That wasn't a coward. He didn't dicker. He didn't debate it. He didn't talk about it. He ran. He said no and he left.
Right.
That's the only answer. He flees her presence so he can continue to be in God's presence.
Yes.
If not, he would have lost the presence of God.
Yes.
He flees her presence to continue to be in God's presence. Remember, he had God's presence, therefore he was prosperous.
Right.
We need to flee what we cannot fight. For instance, 1 Corinthians 6:18, fornication. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now, adultery is extramarital sex, that's sex after marriage, but fornication is premarital sex before marriage. But it also includes many or any kind of illegitimate sex. 1 Corinthians 10:14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Well, there's no idols. I don't have any idols. Well, maybe. How about chevrolets and telephones and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Then flee youthful lust. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lust. But follow righteousness. That would be Jesus and the Bible. Follow faith, follow charity, follow peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And then 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, 10 and 11. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Follow the money, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. So we're going to flee from what we cannot fight.
Think about it.
Flee from what we cannot fight. Joseph was triumphant over temptation. He refused. Verse 8, he refused. Verse 10, he hearkened not. Verse 12, he left his garment and fled and got him out. This is what we need to do. Joseph was steadfast. No was his first answer, and no was his last answer. Steadfast, the same every day. He was separated. Again, in verse 10, he hearkened not unto her or to be with her. He honored God. Verse 9 again. How can I do this great sin against God and wickedness against God? He was honest. In verse 8, he said, my master hath committed all he owns into my hand. I can't go against him. And then he was holy. Verse 9, he realized that this sin was not only against his master, but again against the Lord. So let's read on a little bit. Verse 13 and 14. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, see, he's Potiphar, hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. She's blaming her husband, accusing the husband. And the preacher taught us here on the bulletproof in your marriage, we're not supposed to blame and accuse one another. And here she's, Potiphar's wife is accusing Potiphar. He, Joseph, came in to me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. Joseph gets framed. She lies on him. 15. And it came to pass when he heard that Joseph heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. Now it's very important to notice that it was his Lord. The Bible never says it was her Lord. Never. But look in verse 2. It's his master. It's Joseph's master. Verse 3. It's his master. It was Joseph's master. It was Joseph's Lord. Verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife.
Right.
It was Joseph's Lord. Joseph had determined, he made up his mind, he was going to be the best servant in Egypt.
Right.
He was captive. He said, I'm going to make the best of it. Verse 17. And she spake unto him. She's talking to Potiphar now, her husband. According to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast bought. Again, she's accusing her husband, saying it's your fault. If you hadn't bought him, if you hadn't brought him down here, all this wouldn't have happened. He wouldn't have tried to force me. It's what she's saying. Thou hast brought unto us. He came in unto me to mock me. Accusing. Verse 18. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. Let's check it out in Matthew 26. Verses 59 and 60. Now, the chief priest and elders, we're studying Joseph, but we're learning about Jesus. Now, the chief priest and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses. Same thing. A liar. Verse 19. And it came to pass when his master. Oh, my. If it had been her master, things would have been different. When his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant unto me, that his wrath was kindled. Well, let me ask you this. Against whom? I don't think it was Joseph. I don't think this is her first problem. This is not her first rodeo. And he's mad at the woman. He's not mad at Joseph. I don't blame him. Verse 20 now. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Now, a little bit of disappointment here in Potiphar, but if you think about what he could have done, he could have murdered a slave and nothing would have ever been said.
Right.
A slave had no rights. No rights.
Right.
Potiphar really was protecting. He was giving him the slightest punishment possible. And he has a little talk with the jailer. And he says, jailer, you'd be wise to put him over the jail. He'd been doing good at my house. You don't have to believe that. Let's check it out. That's Brother Rick's version. Psalm 105. Verse 17. And he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Not a slave, a servant. Whose feet they hurt with fetters, and he was laid in iron. Until the time that his word came. And the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent, we'll get to this pretty soon, the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. That's in the future. It's going to happen. Matthew 27. We're studying Joseph, but we're learning about Jesus. Matthew 27:2. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And then Isaiah 53:7, still about Jesus, still studying Joseph and learning about Jesus. Isaiah 53, Messianic chapter. And verse, we could read the whole chapter, really. But verse 7 said, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. And Joseph didn't say a thing when they put him in prison. He didn't defend himself. He didn't say she's a liar. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep to her shears is before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And then back to chapter 39 in Genesis, verse 21. Joseph and the jailer. But the Lord was with Joseph. Aha! Aha! He obeyed. Joseph was faithful and he still got the Lord, still prosperous, and showed him mercy. The Lord showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he, Joseph, was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, just like Potiphar had, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. He's overseer again. He was overseer in his daddy's house. He was overseer in Potiphar's house. And now he's overseer in the prison house. Joseph, faithful. Joseph and the jailer. Jonah 2:8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Joseph, our hero. We're studying about Joseph, but we're learning about Jesus. Luke 23. 47. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." Joseph was a righteous man. Now he wasn't sinless. He did sin somewhere. We just don't know where. We don't know where. But he was a man. But he's a faithful man. Now, Joseph the slandered is the section we'll start now here in chapter 40. And every man does not have his price. Now that's a saying, but it's not always true. It wasn't true with Joseph. He didn't have his price. Joseph endured injustice. And injustice is common. You may have had a lie told on you. Maybe many lies told on you. It's going around. Injustice is common. It's common. Let's look at it in 2 Timothy 3. Now the best thing to do is nothing, though, because most people know the truth. They know the truth. If I come in this morning and tell them, "Well, Brother Teddy was on a big drunk last night," y'all see him, y'all know that wasn't true. We know who's telling the truth. Most, especially children. You can't trick those little guys. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." It's going around. It's the commonness of injustice. See, the world's not fair. Life's not fair.
Right.
No one ever said it was. It doesn't say that in the Bible. It wasn't fair to the Lord.
Right.
John the Baptist preached for 6 months. Got his head cut off. Life's not fair. The Lord Jesus Christ, 3.5 years. And we killed him. We couldn't. Life is not fair. It's not fair. And we experience corruption from the unjust. Here she is telling a lie in 14. She called the men of her house and spake to them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." She shamed and accused her husband before his servants, before his workers. But they knew the truth. They knew. You can't trick the trickster. They knew. The cruelness of injustice. It costs to live right. You'll pay somewhere. You might not get a promotion. You might not get the job that you wanted.
Right.
Joseph lost his reputation. Reputation is what you think I am. Character is what I am when the lights are off, when I'm by myself in the dark. Joseph never lost his character. He lost his reputation.
Right.
He lost his position. He wasn't the head of Potiphar's house no more. He lost the comforts. Even though he was a slave, he was in Potiphar's house. He wasn't in irons like we read in Psalm. He lost his coat. This is the second time he's lost it, and both times it was used to accuse him of doing wrong. He lost his freedom. But he didn't lose his character. Now, a little later, I don't want to get too far ahead. He's going to get all five of them back. The Lord's going to take care of him for doing right. Verses 16 to 18, we already read it. That's the wife's tale. And then in 19 to 20, that's the conclusion and the compromise of Potiphar. He did not believe her, showing... It's showing that he didn't believe her by the punishment that he did not give Joseph, and then the punishment that he did give him. It was mild to what he could have done. He could have hung him right there. The key to Potiphar's prosperity was demoted to the dungeon.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a prosperous house no more. Then Let's read in chapter 40 there a little bit. We've got a little bit of time. The perspective of Joseph's injustice and the comfort of God. Joseph's going to learn it's better to be in prison with God than in the palace without God.
That's good right there.
Chapter 40. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. Now here he is again working. He's serving the prisoners. And he had learned a lot of Egyptian government in Potiphar's house. Now he's going to college and learning more about the Egyptian government because he's going to need it real soon.
Right.
He needs to know how everything operates, and he's learning from these two dignitaries, if you will, the highest butler and the highest baker. These were his companions in prison, and he's getting more training here from Potiphar's cabinet. Let's look at it in Psalms. I don't think we need that one. Let's look at it in 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, 2 Peter knows, I have no idea. I've got it made. The thing is, I've got it made and know it. I bump into a whole lot that's got it made and don't know it. But we've got it made and know it. Joseph gives God the glory. Let's look at it here in verse 5 now. And they, the butler and the baker, dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of the dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. He notices his subjects. He doesn't just serve them. He noticed. He said, hey, what's wrong? Look here. He asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? What's wrong? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Joseph didn't take credit for interpreting the dreams. He said, God does this. God will. He was overseer in the prison. He was overseer in Potiphar's house. He was overseer in his daddy's house, in Jacob's house. And it was all God's will. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Jesus' name. Amen.